Well, my cup runneth over. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and my text is verse 13. I am going to read verse 13 of Philippians 4 after we pause in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee that our cups are full and running over today. We thank Thee that the good news of the redeeming grace of our Savior has gone forth. He that believeth hath everlasting life. Should there be those in our midst today who have not believed, may they this moment exercise faith in Jesus Christ. And may the words of our text take on new meaning for us in these our days of opportunity. We pray that Thou wouldst add to the fellowship of this church those who should unite with us today and continue the wave of spiritual revival in our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it and for His sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Would you read that verse with me? All of us reading it aloud. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, these are the words of a boasting, bragging bigot who is suffering from delusions of grandeur, or else they're the words of a man who had learned the secret of the power of God through the right relationship with Jesus Christ. I choose to believe the latter. For the man who wrote these words, the battle-scarred Apostle Paul, was a man who knew in a vital, personal, eternal relationship the secret of the power of Almighty God. He saw the exercise of that power in his own life. He experienced the exercise of that power in the life and operation of the Roman Empire. Paul is not boasting. Paul is not bragging. Paul is not a bigot. Paul is not an egotist. Paul is not suffering delusions of grandeur. Paul is the servant, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. My message this morning is entitled simply, I am a Christian. Let me begin my message by asking you this question. If you were to be arrested today for being a Christian, could sufficient evidence be produced to convict you? Now, let me give you that in an instant replay. If you were to be arrested for being a Christian today, could you produce sufficient evidence to convict you of really being a Christian? Paul wrote, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." I am a Christian. And because I am a Christian, several things are necessarily true. First, because I am a Christian, I can remain calm in a feverish world. I can remain calm in a feverish world. I saw a beautiful example of this just yesterday. A great deal of my visitation yesterday was with the older folks of our church, the infirm, the sick, the shut-in. I visited over next door Mrs. Isbell, Mrs. Hyde, and their brother Grover. Mrs. Hyde is past 90. Don't you tell them I told you this. And Mrs. Isbell is 84, and Grover is 83. They are not spring chickens. They've been around a long time. In the last 3 years, they have had many reverses. They have had many setbacks. They have had many problems. Some of you know about them. Most of you don't. But I'm talking to you about remaining calm in a feverish world. As I sat there and visited with three pale, emaciated, older people, Mrs. Hyde said to me, "Brother Barber, we don't take our problems too seriously. In fact, we think some of them are funny." When I got ready to leave, as is my custom, I began to offer a word of prayer. And about the time I started, Grover started. And this was his prayer: "Dear God, forgive me of all the sins that I've ever committed since I was born. And dear God, please make your grace sufficient for us." Well, I'd never heard him hardly speak, to say nothing of pray. And I left that house, and something swelled up in my heart, and I remembered Isaiah 26:3. "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." You see, the Christian must be on fire for God. But at the same time, we must keep our cool. Because I am a Christian, I can remain calm in a feverish world. Because I am a Christian, I can remain courageous in a world that is filled with fear. Look about you today. There is fear on every hand, on every side. Fear, frustration. And yet, as Christians, as born again ones, as saints, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I can remain courageous in a world that is filled with fear. The best way to make a good sailor is to put him on a rough sea. Good sailors are not made on calm oceans. Good sailors are made where there is rough sailing. Yesterday, when I was visiting the hospital, Harris Hospital, they're doing some enlargement work. You see, people still get sick too, and hospitals have to enlarge. And just by the elevator on one of the floors was a small door that was closed, and there was a big piece of plywood covering what appeared to be an opening. And there was a padlock. And then there was a wire wrapped around the lock. And there was a sign that said, "Do not enter." And I thought to myself, how on earth could a man enter? But then someone in fun had written down under the sign, "Do not enter," "Enter at your own risk. This is the bottomless pit." And I looked in it and I thought for a minute it was. You see, the door had a little hole in it, a little glass. And I looked in and I couldn't see a thing but pitch darkness and a few pipes running up and down. Enter at your own risk. This is the bottomless pit. And I thought in my own mind, a sign like that ought to be put up at every road that leads to hell. This is the bottomless pit. And then I thought that sign ought to be put somewhere else, the first part of it. Enter at your own risk ought to be inscribed in front of every church. Not that the building will fall down on you, but let me say this. If you follow Jesus, if you abandon self, if you dedicate and consecrate and commit your life to the Savior, it might be risky business. Jesus said, "He that cometh after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Jesus went by the way of a cross. If we follow him, it might be risky business. In the church at Jerusalem, in the great council in Acts chapter 15, the elders of the church at Jerusalem wrote a letter to the church at Antioch commending certain of the brethren, including Paul and Silas. And one of the paragraphs in that letter said this: "These men," Paul and his companions, "these men have hazarded their lives for Christ." Now you know why I say at every church the sign ought to be inscribed, "Enter at your own risk." For when I preach, I do not call sissies and softies to follow Christ, I call men. For this is the business of God. There's no room for cowards and sissies and turncoats. But because I am a Christian, I can remain courageous in a world that is filled with fear. I can face the music, even if I don't like the tune. And the orchestra of life might sound forth some notes of fear, but above the sound of the orchestra, I hear the voice of Jesus: "Fear not, it is I." I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Because I'm a Christian, I can remain courageous in a world that is filled with fear. Because I am a Christian, I can suffer the loss of all things and still come out victorious in the end. I think this is what Paul meant when he said in Philippians chapter 3, I count all things but loss, that I might win him. If I give my life, so what? It is but a short span anyhow. If I give my worldly goods, so what? They are few. But if I can win Christ, I can suffer the loss of all other things and come out victorious in the end. Jesus put it this way, he that saveth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You and I can, we will, we must lose everything to gain him. And beloved, we'll come out on the top when the battle's over. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown. Because we're Christians. Because we can afford to lose everything and still come out victorious in the end. Because I am a Christian, I can be consistent in all things while all others about me are being inconsistent. You know, about the only thing that some people are consistent in is their inconsistencies. Gypsy Smith, the great revivalist of yesteryear, in a prayer room after one of his services, asked a man, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, he said. And how long have you been a Christian? Well, he said, I've been a Christian 28 years, off and on. And Gypsy Smith said, I suppose more off than on. Yes, he said, preacher, you're exactly right. More off than on. Little boy came home one day, both pockets full of marbles. He left home with one pocket full of marbles. And when his mother saw it, she asked him, where'd you get those other marbles? Well, he said, Jimmy and I played a little game of marbles and I won. And his mother said, why, Johnny, shame on you. You know you shouldn't play marbles for keeps. You take those marbles that you've won back to Jimmy and give them to him. Don't play marbles for keeps. And so Johnny tucked his head and walked out. And just about the time he got to the door, he turned back and said, Mother, should I take that vase that you won at Miss Smith's party the other night? Inconsistency in Christianity. Inconsistency in the Christian life. You know, a lot of Christians speak two languages, one on Sunday and another during the week. Ought not to be that way. You ought to be able to speak on Sunday every kind of language you speak during the week. Don't be inconsistent. And I'm a believer in this. If Christ is at the center of the life, you don't have to worry about the circumference. If Christ is at the center, the circumference will take care of itself. A man's Sunday self and his weekday self are like two halves of a round-trip ticket. No good if detached. Because we are Christians, we can remain consistent in all things. Day in and day out, Monday morning and Tuesday morning and right on through the week. Not just Sunday Christianity. That's one of the things that's wrong with the world today. We've got too many Sunday Christians. God, give us men and women in this church, in this great ministry, who will live daily the life they propose to live on Sunday. Many Christians are standing in the way of unsaved men because of the inconsistencies of their lives. And I don't know of but one thing that is more tragic than going to hell. And that's causing somebody else to go. Because we are Christians, we can and we should remain consistent in all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Because I'm a Christian, I can judge myself harshly before I judge others. Jesus gives us a prescription on judging in Matthew chapter 7, and he says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again." And here's the crux of the whole matter, and I want you to listen carefully. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." You know the difference between a mote and a beam? Well, in comparison, a mote would be a splinter and a beam, a railroad tie. Get the railroad tie out of your own eye, and then you can see to get the splinter out of the other man's eye. Because I am a Christian, I can judge myself harshly before I pass judgment on anybody else. Someone said, a real Christian is one who could lend his parrot to the town gossip. You know what a parrot does. It parrots. It repeats everything that we say and do as much as it can. We don't want to be like the Sunday school teacher that I read about one time, who was thinking about his own accomplishments and his own self-righteousness, and in a pious voice said to his class of boys, "And why do people call me a Christian?" And there was dead silence. The little boy on the back row spoke up and said, "Must be because they don't know you." Because I am a Christian, I can judge myself harshly before I pass judgment on somebody else. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Because I am a Christian, I can tell others what happened to me when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest joy of the Christian life is sharing Christ with somebody else. I am a Christian. Because I am a Christian, I can tell others what happened to me. When I was 11 years old, I bowed at an old-fashioned altar. And I felt a hand go down over my head. And that was the hand of my daddy, who is in heaven today. Nobody had to tell. I didn't even have to look up to tell it was daddy's hand. There's something about daddy's hand that no other man had. But then I felt another hand. And that was the hand of God. And nobody had to tell me it was God's hand. And something happened that day. And because I'm a Christian, I can tell you that my sins were washed away. I can tell you that I was born into the family of God. I can tell you that I was pardoned. I was justified. I passed out of the realm of death and into the realm of life. I was translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the light of His dear Son. I can tell the world what happened to me because I'm a Christian. And beloved, because I'm a Christian, I can tell the world where I'm going to spend eternity. I don't hope to die. Really, I don't think I'm going to die. I believe I'll be living when Jesus comes. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uptaker. But I might, God might see fit to call me home in death. And so if He does, when the doctor turns and says to my family, "He's gone," don't you worry about where he's gone. He's gone to heaven. Amen. Because I'm a Christian, I can tell you and not blink an eye, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. I can say with old John Dixon, "I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. I praise the Lord I ever found this way. When this old world's on fire, you may know I've gone up higher, for I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day." You want to go with me? Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank Thee for redeeming grace. We thank Thee for salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank Thee that we know today that we are Christians. Not because we've been baptized, not because we've been sprinkled, not because we've learned the catechisms, not because we've recited the memory verses, but because we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Dear God, if there are those here who are not Christians today, who have never trusted my Savior, may they come to trust Him. If there are those who need to come and in a prayer of dedication, give themselves to Thee totally, completely, so that we all can remain calm in a feverish world, so that we all can remain courageous in a world that is filled with fear, so that we all can be consistent, so that we all can know that we can lose everything and yet be victorious, so that we can tell others what happened to us when we were saved. So we can tell the world where we are going to spend eternity. Bring us together and bind us together and save the lost and reclaim the backslidden. And bring into the fellowship of this church those who should make that decision today, even now, is our prayer in Jesus' name. While we pray, while our heads are bowed, the choir is going to offer a stanza two of invitation hymn. And this invitation is for you. I make this appeal to you. If you are lost, if you are unsaved, if you have never trusted Christ, I want you to step out this morning and come to this altar of prayer. And the workers here will show you how you can be saved. And you can say, because I am a Christian, thus and so, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. If you are here today and you're already saved, you are a Christian, but your life is not what it ought to be in the Lord Jesus and in the service and ministry of the church. Some of those inconsistencies pop up. The lack of faith and the lack of courage and the lack of witnessing or whatever it might be. I want you to step out and meet your pastor here at the altar and say, "Pastor, pray with me. I need help. I need guidance. I need strength. I need courage." There's nothing to be ashamed about. All of us would do it if we'd just be honest. Everybody in this house would come if we'd just be honest with God. There wouldn't be room around this altar for every Christian that ought to come for a prayer of dedication and surrender of our lives today if we just obeyed the voice of God. There wouldn't be room here. If you're here today and you'd like to unite with the fellowship of our church, I want you to come. While we sing, who'll be first to come right now? While the